Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
My message today is dealing on a topic that we need to look at right now in the day we're in, and it's entitled Purity and Truth. As we strive to rebuilding spiritual purity in an ungodly day, we must rebuild spiritual purity in an ungodly day. Before I get into my text today, I want to highlight and honor a few people that I should do right now. Yesterday we had a special luncheon honoring those who invested in this church for 25 years that we are now in this premises. But some are in their third church because they were at the Oklahoma, but they were at a building even prior to Oklahoma, because we are now 61, we'll be 61 years this May that this church has been in existence. And it's taken people over all those years to keep on investing for the next generation. I want to honor all those who have been the 25 years in this church and above. Would you stand? Praise God. Just keep standing. Online, I wish you could see it, and one day we'll have to ask you how long you've been journeying with us. Wherever you are right now, just tell us what nation, city, or town you're in. But I wish you could see the host. We had, I think it was about 80 or so, or somewhere between 70 and 80 yesterday at the banquet. And it was such a blessing because they have pressed through. There's been tough days. There have been hard times. But they have kept this church going, and there's still a fire in them. And it's so beautiful to behold. And so I want to thank all of you because you have brought us hitherto, and we are going to continue on into the future. Amen? Amen? Now, I would like all those that are under 40 years to sit down, 40 years in PPC to sit. Folks, look around. They're still standing. And I'd like we give them an applause. Now I'd like those under 50 years in PPC to sit down. And so yesterday we quickly were able to say it, and I believe if I'm going to get this right, I think it was 1977, whatever, you messed me up again. And then, Brother Milton? Old church, 76 or so. Actually, at this point, you don't have to remember years. And Sylvia? 53 years. And the Holbrooks? 52 years. Folks, give them a real. Takes a lot to go towards the future, but we thank you so much for where you've brought us thus far. Today my message is rebuilding spiritual purity in an ungodly day. We are still in an extremely critical time in the history of the church, but seemingly many people are not taking that as seriously. And I want us to remember what it takes for the next generation to embrace where we're at and take it into the future. So while we're all seated, would you stand again? Psalm 119, verse 9 to 16. We're going to read it together. And I think they just slipped it to go to Sunday school. I wanted to thank Jonathan and Lilani Kulathungam for their work in that banquet yesterday. And I just looked over, and I know they're gone to the Sunday school. But Jonathan and Lilani, we thank you. Give them an applause for their great work. Let's read this together today. Psalm chapter 119, verse 9 to 16. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your words. We're going to read it again, because the first time you read it, you just read it. Now when you read it, would you read it? Amen? How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the generations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Oh God, let it be so as we have read it and declared it. Cause us to live it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Purity and truth. In this season of life, there must be an adamancy to rebuild spiritual truth in this ungodly day. Many of our forefathers, those that we're talking about, who you saw stand up, they had to hold on to truth despite the changes in culture. And they because of that, they left us with a vibrant church that is a Bible-believing, prayer-centric, holistically helpful church, a missional-minded church. And so we have to remember that this passage is not just for the next generation. It's for us to realize if we don't live it out, they won't understand purity. Purity is not going to come on them because we tell them to be pure. It's going to come because we live it out and demonstrate it to them. And so spiritual truth cannot be attained without every Christian moving away from their religion-based mindset that has become the culture. The culture of today is a religion-based mindset, but it's not a mindset of spiritual purity. And so we will never see the next generation come into who they should be until we allow purity in spiritual purity to lead us to a holiness that becomes our lifestyle. There's many excuses today as to don't judge me, don't think this, I've been this all my life. That's not what's going to create the next generation stepping into the truth of the Word of God. Generations have been impacted negatively by the fallacy of many churchgoers. But today I appeal to everyone, and don't say it's for someone else. I'm appealing to everyone. Please ask the Lord to make you a vessel of honor that can be used to nurture others. And begin seeing this as the necessity for the kingdom of God right now. Right now. Our Christian life impacts generations, not just now, but forever. I want to show us a couple of generational aspects that are happening today. The impact of our Christianity in current generations. Generation X, they are born approximately 1960 to 1980. These are the ages 45 to 65. A research, and all the researchers have told us, and this is what I'm sharing from, are multiple researchers. researchers are saying that this generation between 45 to 65 lived through recession. So they learned that governments failed them from when they were young, and so they began to reject authority even when it wasn't vocal, when it wasn't strong. They began to reject authority. So then right after that generation came their children, the millennials, approximately 1981 to 1996, ages 29 to 44. Research is saying this generation of millennials, they have a decreased accountability, they have low responsibility to the kingdom, and they have an independence that says, I do only what I want. One other researcher says they're self-centered, narcissistic, materialistic, and lazy. Please, I didn't say it. I'm reading what I got from the studies. Then, after that generation, which are now having kids, they created Generation Z, Generation Z, ZZ. Approximately 1997 to 2012, ages 13 to 28. And the researchers are saying this generation are filled with unprecedented anxiety and increasing mental crisis. What happened? But that generation at 28, at the top of that generation, they're having children. And that generation is now called Generation Alpha, approximately 2013 to 20 now. But this generation, they're considered the observers, but they do not know what is truth. Take a picture, because you're going to have to pray through those generations. See, the fault lines continue to increase. When you have a generation now that are going to be the leaders of tomorrow, but they have no barometer for what is truth, and now you have AI that can generate anything, so it's tailored to make them never know what is truth. How are we going to change the impact that has now come upon the young and current generation? There's only one major way: restore truth. Truth must be restored. Truth must be restored. But folks, purity and truth walk hand in hand as one leads the other. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 to 26 says, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver. Some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions. The cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean. You will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace, and enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. I chose this passage because they can't learn it unless they can walk in the companionship of those of us who have a pure heart. Again, I say don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, be patient with difficult people. That's so hard. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. There are generations that have been held captive because they do not know what truth is, but truth must be demonstrated by those who know the Lord, the Word of God, and are living their lives as good, clean, pure vessels unto the Lord. So what is purity? When we speak of purity, We're stating that those who desire not to be polluted by worldly standards of sinfulness with excuses, that they will demonstrate what it's like to live honorably before God, to be used as a great vessel of God. It's when we avoid moral corruption or even the acceptance of dark practices fostered by the devil. It's those who want to maintain a clear conscience with an unpolluted mind. It's very difficult today in this world we live in to have an unpolluted mind because the worldly system is polluting everything. But God's word still shows us how to remain unpolluted. What does that mean? Means we choose to live transparently. We desire a pathway of holiness. There was that generation that stood up. They grew up on let's be holy. Let's be holy. But along the way, we changed it to say, don't you ever tell me what's wrong. Don't be pious now, folks. Many of us Christians don't want to hear what we've done wrong. Because we've made a right to ourselves to do whatever we want. That is not purity. When we're desirous to subject our lives to the purity of God's word, then we must strive in every way to be accepting of only the truth of God and judge ourselves against that truth. Online, you better say amen, because it's really quiet in here. Folks, purity is not perfection. Purity is the desire, the choices, and the actions of aligning oneself under Christ through God's word. Purity is not perfection. I had to write that in because God's not asking any of us to be perfect. None of us are. But he's asking us to do what? Strive. Make the choices that align ourselves under God's word so that we are letting the word judge us, not our own conscience or the longevity of our Christianity. The word is our guide. The word is our judge. And when we do these things, the next generation will come to understand what truth is, even when it hurts. Hello? So what is truth? Today, truth has been taught, not even today, for years now, going back, and I'll show you how far back it goes. Truth has been taught that it's relative, not absolute. Meaning that whatever you find to be your truth is okay. And the intention and the success of this teaching has always been to deny the truth of God's word, which is absolute truth. For decades, generations have been framed by these teachings. And we now see a sector of people who prefer lies to truth, who choose lies over truth, and some will defend lie over truth. And you see it now destroying nations where people will know what is a lie, but then we even heard it rephrased a number of years ago to be alternative truth. That's how far society has gone. That a lie is no longer known as a lie, it's an alternative truth. So what you have, when you have, remember I showed you the generations, by the time you get to Generation Alpha, who didn't hear when it was coined, they believe it, that this is a definition. And this extremely secularized indoctrination in thinking always try to deny the power of God's word. But we must be reminded that God's word is absolute. God's truth is absolute. Truth is found in God. We do not embrace relative truth as the ultimate judge in life. We embrace absolute truth, which only comes from the word of God. In fact, none of us are completely truthful, but God's word is always truthful. It is God's truth that will keep society from destroying each other and itself. Do you see how society is destroying others and self and themselves now? They're people who don't even care if they destroy themselves. All they want to do is make sure their way is upheld. And so it's a selfishness, a self-centeredness, a greed, a hate, an anger, inner confusion, and many such words that is now being shaped that's my truth. Have you heard anyone say it? That is my truth. I'm sorry, there's only one truth. It's the Word of God. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what is relative truth versus absolute truth? When people say truth is relative, they're meaning truth is not fixed. It's a universal concept that varies by the observer, by the culture, by the context, and by their own personal frame of reference. And we, the church, need to understand that this is what is framing society. So the church must stand up and understand it is against the Word of God. This popular thought is of my experience is my truth. My perception is my truth. It's been taught for so many decades by philosophers now that the generations that have been created are engulfed in it. They're encompassed by it. They're embedded in it. They're indoctrinated in it, and they don't know the difference. But that's why those of us who know the difference must uphold the difference. They can't help themselves. Society framed it, and they were born into it. Let me give you a couple of examples. Plato, according to Wikipedia, he defined truth this way. He says, truth is always truth in context. What is true for one person might not be true for another. If truth is relative to culture, then it's the culture that matters, not the truth. That's Plato. Do you know how many generations grew up under Plato's teaching? Einstein said, the search for truth and knowledge is one of the finest attributes of man, though often it is most loudly voiced by those who strive for it the least. So Einstein's saying that there's a search for it and there's a knowledge that people want, but it's often not sought to find what is real truth. Mark Twain says, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. And what he meant by that is that honesty simplifies life, as one doesn't need to keep track of lies. Therefore, he says, truth is the most valuable thing we can have. But here's the twist. The same Mark Twain, it is recorded in history that he hated God because God's word condemned adultery and fornication. And he said, these are his words, he says, the fact that God will not allow adultery and fornication is a cruelty to mankind. Do you see how society has been shaped? Skewed in every way. So what is absolute truth? Even some renowned religious teachers spoke truth from their own religious perspective. Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, is known as a powerful speaker and a voice. And he says, absolute truth shines with its own light and with its own proof. Man can find it through the inner voice and conscience. Relative truth, on the other hand, is not the truth but one's truth as perceived by the individual. So he says, truth is not so simple as it appears to you, which is good. I like that. Truth is not simple as it appears to you. But then he also said, truth shines from your own light and your own proof. If everything I'm going to do to prove myself is my truth, then where's the guide and the barometer for truth? He had some great sayings, but he was not a believer of the Word of God, which is truth. The Word of God, folks, is absolute. Jesus says this in John 8, verse 31 to 32. Jesus said to the people who believed him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What have we moved away from? The study of the Word of God, the desire for the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God. And so we're caught up in relative truth, but we're not living in absolute truth. I'm going to remind us today, if we don't get back to knowing this, we're going to continue to be skewed by the world's concept of truth because it is embedded in our civilization. Throughout the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, absolute truth is found. Even when it was hard, even when it was difficult, even when it was overwhelming, the Bible tells us every story to show us how society went, what God had to do. God didn't just give us the beautiful picture. He showed us the good, the bad, and the ugly so we would know this is what we'll face in life. But at the end of the day, God's truth is still absolute and it must be achieved. So Mark chapter 12, verse 29 to 33, Jesus says, the most important commandment is this. Listen, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. You must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second is important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than this. The religious law replied, the teachers of the religious law replied, well said, teacher. You've spoken the truth by saying there's only one God and no other. And I know it's important to love with all our heart and understanding and love my neighbor. This is important. And they continued on. But Jesus continued on to speak to them. And he says this in John 4. The time is coming, and indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking. Who's the Father looking for? The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. For God is spirit. So those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's a lot of people that are in spirit, but they're not in truth. And many of us grew up in generations where there's a lot of people in spirit. But he didn't say just in spirit. He said in spirit and in truth. Because when truth is broken down in society, we lose generations. And generations are grasping to understand it. And it's rigidly modeled to them in a secularized manner of relativism. But I want you to know we've got to teach it. We've got to sow it and so we can reap generations that understand. Adults who are mature in faith sow truth at all levels, at all times, in all mannerism. It is a now generation that do not listen to you. They watch you. They see. They're learning their concept. Everything is taken in by eyesight, not by ear. And so this is now the time for us to move back into lifestyles of authenticity, vulnerability, and simplicity. We have been living in too much duplicity where we can excuse ourselves because it is our truth. There's only one truth. So my behavior, my actions, my lifestyle, everything must line up in the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up according to God's Word, there is no excuses. It's just wrong. That's why the next generation can't find the barometer. And mature Christians have coined a persona of religious righteousness. But such perfection of religiosity has caused many in the next generation to doubt absolute truth. So they're looking, searching, trying to find. Folks, what you choose, you can accomplish. What you choose, you can accomplish. We have to choose truth. You're here today because your desire is to choose truth. So I implore you, choose truth. But don't just choose it, live it. If we don't live it, you hear, we're not vessels of honor. Because the next generation, they have been warped and broken down and skewed. And what will bring them back is them saying, I want to be like that. Not because of the persona, but because they can sense the righteous, holy purity of God in our lives. I want to be like that. Doesn't mean you won't make a mistake here or there. But you live beyond that for them to see. This, why did God record mistakes of prophets and priests and everyone in the Bible? To tell us we're human. Only God was the perfect sacrifice. Only Christ was the perfect lamb. Why did he record all of that? So we would know you're never going to be perfect. But even in your imperfection, strive for truth. Live in truth. Do what the Word of God says. If you do something guided by the word, then they will know how to guide their lives by the word. So what do we choose? We choose no more excuses, no more compromising, no more complaining, no more blaming. We choose to change it. Online, no more excuses, no more compromising, no more complaining, no more blaming. Change it. So let me speak now to Generation X, Y, and Z. Truth leads us into a life of purity in Christ. So Generation X, Y, and Z, I told you who you were up there, and I'll repeat it in a few minutes, but no more excuses. My family are like this. My hands are like this. My culture is like this. Stop. No more compromising. I have to be this way because everybody else in my society is this way. No. You've got to be the way of the word. And yes, generations have failed us, failed you. We failed you, and you're failing the next generation. So no more compromising. No more complaining. Oh, I don't like church, and church is full of hypocrites. So are you. We're all hypocrites. But God is the one who washes us and changes us and purifies us. No more blaming. Oh, my parents are like this, my grand. What happened why I showed you those generations? Let me just go to the generations, the impact. Generation X, I think you've got those. This generation began to question all authority and blame everybody for everything that went wrong, so they didn't have to come to church anymore. Do you know that this is a generation that stopped loving worship and coming to church and came whenever they felt like? Think of all of your friends out there. 2 Timothy talked about it. They're rich, and they're rich in money and riches and everything, but it's hay and stubble. It will burn up. It's not going to last. But because they blamed everyone, my parents made me go to church all my life. And they did this, and they smacked me if I was wrong in church, and if I was true in God. And so that a generation began to blame everything. Our parents were not perfect, but they were holding on to God. And this generation tore it all down and honored relative truth. So the next generation takes no responsibility, no accountability, and moved into materialism because we told them that worship on Sunday was if you choose, if you like it, and if you think the people there are for you. No, the word of God is being preached, and it's to cut, I love it, Hebrews, it's to cut to the dividing of soul and spirit. And so then you get a Generation Z, and what are we finding? So much mental crisis, mental illness, despondency, discouragement, depression. But a new generation is behind them. And there's nothing in society to let them know truth. So I start from Generation Z. And all of your friends that you know are in this category. Start reminding them, there's only one truth. It's the Word of God. And we have to come back to it. Got to come back to it in order for the next generations below us to live it out. We've excused ourselves from a lot. Now it's time to change it. Change it. Stop thinking they can't tell, because they can tell. See, their friends are all online. Their whole friendship world. See, for us, we grew up, our generation, we grew up with our friends being our friends. And you like this one for that or that one for that. And you know, how many of you got friends in pockets? You know, come on, put it up, right? Yeah, friends in pockets. Like, this one's good for this. This one's good for that. This one, I can only tolerate so long, you know, right? So, but the next generation after us, their friends are online. So the little bit of discernment they use is to see who's real by what they see. So because of that, they have a heightened awareness of when we are fake. Hello? So we have to change it so that we will live out truth. We can't allow society to no longer be in truth when truth is in the Word of God and truth is in the house of the Lord. Bow your heads with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, every person here has to recommit to truth. Every person here has to determine how they're going to change it. That our persona of religiosity will not overrule the Word of God, which is absolute truth, but we will be guided and guarded by it. So, Lord, I pray for every one of us in here that in this moment, online and in-house, we would begin to ask you to deliver us. So right now, all over this place, I want you just to pray and ask God, deliver you. Would you, online, would you pray it? God, deliver me. Deliver me from the areas that I have allowed truth not to guide my life. And I think that no one will see it, no one knows it, but you do, Lord. And I want to be a vessel that is rich and powerful, fit for the Master's use for generations. So would you right now in this moment begin to pray and ask the Lord, deliver me from it. Deliver me.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.